I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Jack Teixeira, a member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard, was taken into custody. It was FBI agents who arrived there earlier today and conducted that arrest. One note that we got internally here is that law enforcement brought a considerable amount of firepower because of the suspect's military background. They took no chances with this arrest, but in the end, he was taken into custody without incident.
That's an ABC report from earlier today. As news broke, the FBI had made an arrest in the Pentagon leaks. April 13, 2023. So a 21-year-old who is with the Air Force, Airman Teixeira, has now been arrested. Now, his mother says that he served with the Air National Guard primarily. One report shows him enlisted in the 102nd Intel Wing of the Massachusetts Air National Guard. That might have been where he had access to material, if in fact he's the one who got them and then posted them. All of this came out, of course, as these papers were released online to gamers going to a particular site, basically to play games and sharing information. And one of those on that chat source talked about the very man that's now under arrest.
I don't think that there was a goal nor some sort of accomplishment that he was looking for in sharing these documents. He had disagreed with several occasions such as Waco and Ruby Ridge and thought that the government is overreaching in several aspects.
In fact, generally the people involved in the chat room said that we just have people in our group who are in Ukraine. We like fighting games. We like war games. That's all we were doing. One of the members was under age 18, but they all got discovered, the information discovered, when one of the members posted them on a public online forum where they were picked up by Russian language channels. Then they began to realize this is sensitive documents. So now we have a suspect in arrest. The information continues to be gathered as to what he had, what he shared. But Courtney Cube, NBC correspondent, said there's still a lot of questions.
The biggest concern that, according to the officials who I've spoken with about this, is they still don't have any sense of not only where this came from, in that was it a leak, was it a hack, but they have no idea how long some of these documents were out there. They have no idea how far they may have gotten before the U.S. was even aware of them, and they still don't know what they don't know.
And that's the part that still remains viable. They still don't know what they don't know. The investigation's just beginning. Well, of course, with the recent mass shootings at a bank in Louisville and the Tennessee Christian School, more and more questions are coming forward. What are we going to do about gun control to stop this?
As you know, pitifully, possibly inevitably, Louisville's name was added to the long list of American cities marred by a mass gun shooting. Illinois earlier this year passed and the governor signed very restrictive gun laws dealing with assault weapons that are now hung up in court. What's the situation in Illinois, and what's your sense of what America needs to do and say about this epidemic currently?
Well, studies show that something like 20% of all Americans at this point now know someone personally who was a victim of gun violence. Bottom line, we need to ban assault-style weapons.
That is Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat of Illinois, talking the party line. Now, I want to make sure you understand something. U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth is an Iraq War veteran, Purple Heart recipient, flew one of the combat missions during Operation Iraqi Freedom. In 2004, her Black Hawk helicopter hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. She lost both legs, mobility in one arm. She's the first female double amputee from that war. That is an amazing record, an honor due her for her service to her country, her sacrifice. But she's on the wrong side of this argument, and she knows it, but she wants to claim, since she's a Democrat, that we have war weapons on our streets nowadays.
We can right now today pass universal background checks. We can pass an assault weapons ban. We can pass a ban on high-capacity magazines. Those last two things are one of the most common denominators involved in mass shootings in this country.
And yet, you know, Senator, in Illinois' experience, it did just that at the state level. It immediately got challenged in court, and with a recent Supreme Court ruling in a New York case, that law in Illinois is in jeopardy.
It is. And, you know, we need to remind the voters which legislators are the ones that are kowtowing to the gun lobby and to the NRA, and who is actually working to protect them and their children in their schools. And frankly, we need to take that message back to the American people, and people need to vote.
To that point, she is correct. Senator Duckworth is correct. People need to be voting. But she also knows, since she served in the military, if she put one of the weapons she used in the war, an M16 or an M4, on the table, is it going to go shoot someone? Of course not. It's who has it. Yes, she's also correct. Extra ammunition in a magazine was used by mass shooters, but it's not the number of bullets in the magazine. It is, again, the person holding the weapon and what their intent is. Constantly trying to push forward with more gun control laws, that's not going to change this situation. At the same time, we want to see an end to it. But when she said that Republican legislators need to be asked why you put the well-being of the NRA and gun manufacturers over the well-being of your family and kids, I don't know of a single NRA member or Republican or conservative or Second Amendment person who says, I put the NRA over my kids. That is a false premise. Coming up, I'm going to give you a primer on how a journalist, and I use the term loosely, how a journalist becomes a lackey for the Biden push for electric cars. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. You want a beautiful lawn, but if you live by my motto, I don't do projects. So call the experts. Allen Outdoor Solutions. Lawn maintenance, landscaping, lighting, irrigation. Recent storms might have created some drainage issues. That's not good for your home. Get immediate help or a quote. Call my friend Steve Allen, 314-647-4800, 647-4800, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Shoot your eye down. Check you
in. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
While Republicans are going after Alvin Bragg, the Biden administration is focusing on issues that affect a whole lot of Americans, like infrastructure. Just a 15-minute drive from 30 Rock sits New York City's largest power plant, Ravenswood Generation Station. That is where I met Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm. The plant has burned fossil fuel for years and years, a practice that has impacted the community so much that many call that neighborhood Asthma Alley. But now Ravenswood is looking to swap those fossil fuels with renewable energy, a move that Secretary Granholm believes is an example of what could happen all across the nation.
Okay, so now we have a setup. That's from MSNBC Rule reporter. Her name is Rule. And She began by saying, while the Republicans are dealing with this, Democrats are focusing on your future and taking care of you. You cannot make a statement like that without obviously showing your slant, your intent. There was no need to put that opening line in. While Republicans are dealing with the indictments on Trump and all this, Democrats are hard at work for you. And, of course, then she sets up the Energy Secretary, Granholm, and going to talk about how great of a job she's doing and what they're doing at this fossil plant that has been known now as Asthma Alley for all the time it's there, the pollution it's producing. Within this context of what we're going to go through, you're going to be learning not only how the administration is planning to do things and using you in the process, but also how so-called journalists take a story and they become patsy for the group they're supposed to be reporting on. For instance, let's begin with, I would call what is a PR question to our energy secretary.
So what they're doing is they're going to convert all this energy that has been produced by fossil fuels, largely natural gas, some oil, and they're going to make it a renewable site. So they're going to take advantage of the offshore wind that is going to be produced here in New York. They're going to have some onshore. They're going to have some solar. But the whole thing is going to be converted from a pollution-creating plant, an energy-creating plant, to a clean energy plant, which is a fantastic story of transformation.
The Inflation Reduction Act, the bipartisan infrastructure law, how important are they to projects like this?
I mean, they're huge. First of all, these irresistible tax incentives that have been created that have caused all these projects to decide to come here or to convert old power plants to create renewable power, all of those have been incentivized as a result of policy.
See, they let Senator, Energy Secretary Granholm state the case of what's going to be happening and then put the question in this, it's all looking so good. I've got an answer for that too. That's another slanted question and set up to give her an opportunity. She might as well have scripted it, and I'm not sure they didn't. Well, listen to this question.
One of the obvious long-term goals is to lower energy prices. Mm-hmm. But we live in a world of short-termism, and people are worried about their energy prices today. We're watching those prices creep up, especially the price of gas. Is there a plan right now to address that? Because if people are really fired up and angry about energy prices today, they tend to forget about what could happen tomorrow.
Isn't that true? You're just too fired up about what you're having to pay today. You can't even think about tomorrow. You aren't thinking about tomorrow because I don't know how we're making it today. How are we going to make it tomorrow and the next day? There's another great PR question that's set up with a slant. And, of course, Granholm gets the opportunity to, again, hit one out of the ballpark.
Because if people are really fired up and angry about energy prices today, they tend to forget about what could happen tomorrow.
First of all, on oil and gas prices, and especially gasoline, oil is traded on a global market, right? I think what we have seen with this war in Ukraine and the volatility of the oil markets, the decision by OPEC to not produce as much, that causes prices to go up, right? That means the global market is extremely volatile. So what's better for us?
What's better for us is not relying on global energy. That's what's better for us. That's not the answer you're going to get in a moment. Again, this is Energy Secretary Granholm being questioned by an MSNBC reporter. And I would say not being questioned, but how do I help you present the Biden platform, which is exactly what she's doing. Now, there's some legitimate points being made, but you heard it kind of slide in again that, well, Americans are just so concerned about right now, you're too stupid to look down the road, aren't you? That's what they're suggesting. So we've looked down the road for you. We know what's best for you. We know what's best for your kids. We know what's best for everyone. They don't know what's best for Joe Biden. They can't figure out what to do with him. But on you and everybody else, they got a good handle on that. And in fact, to that extent, Granholm, this energy secretary, says, we're going to continue pushing
The global market is extremely volatile. So what's better for us? The better choice is to move to electrified transportation, because it is so much cheaper for you to operate an electric vehicle than it is to fill up your tank with gasoline. So the bottom line is, moving to clean is moving to energy security and moving to affordability.
Yeah, well, it's not so affordable to buy one of those cars right now. And there are problems with them, which we'll discuss here in more detail in a moment. But also, it's just, again, pushing you, because you're not smart enough to know what's coming. These folks, they are among the smartest in the room. You doubt it? You ask them. Yeah, I'm definitely smart. You're not so much smart. And the reason people are having difficulty is because, again, when they say, you know, we shouldn't be relying on a global, we don't want to rely on global oil and gas. No, of course we don't. So why don't you go back to what we had under Trump? Like him or hate him, we were energy independent. We did not have to import any oil or gas. We did some simply for trade relations, but we didn't need to. Plus, we had our reserve filled to the top. This administration has been draining it off to buy votes. But even Granholm does admit it's not as easy as just flipping a switch.
We are in a transition. So you can't just flip a switch and go from a fossil fuel energy country to a renewable energy country. That's just not possible, because the technology is not ready, the infrastructure is not ready. So it's a transition. That's why the goal is to get to a net zero carbon emitting economy by 2050. That's still years ahead. We have to have this be a smart, managed transition. Gasoline is going to be around for a good number of years in the future. So we have to produce that, and we don't want to choke off supply so that price goes up either. So it's managing the current situation so that people's prices are not going high by using fossil fuels, but also really accelerating this push to clean, which ultimately is cheaper and cleaner and more secure.
But you are pushing oil and gas prices higher because you're not using what we have available other than draining from our reserves. You are relying on the global economy, which you say is volatile. And if you want to be more secure, what's better than being able to use your own product than having to get it from someone else? And, of course, they tend to forget. They don't mention, and this reporter is not going to raise the question, well, how do they generate all that electricity, by the way? And then, of course, the other part of the issue, the reporter is very good about bringing up something that we all know, and it's right in our face, so let's ask it.
Everything that you're talking about is about job creation. It's about security. It's about safety. It's about economics. And then there's people who say, all this clean, green, it's just about being woke.
Well, I would want to wake up with a job in the clean energy sector, which is going to be about $23 trillion, according to Bloomberg, by 2030. Why shouldn't we be pushing to have to corner the market in that clean energy economy and create jobs in every pocket of America, doing the kind of work that your kids and my kids want to do to help, you know, yes, protect the planet, but also provide reliable, secure energy for America.
For the future generations, your kids and your kids' grandkids and their grandkids, they might well be doing that. And you heard this reporter basically diss you because you want to worry about today. So it is a woke issue, being veiled the best they can. Say, oh, well, you know, you want to have a job. You want to be in those jobs. If it's there, yes. But how many are you putting out of work while you're in the process of transitioning? Which does bring a question again from the reporter.
Do you believe you will meet this administration's clean energy goals by the end of this term?
Well, the goal is to get, as I say, 100% clean electricity by 2035. So if you go backwards from that goal, we have to do a lot.
Here's a political challenge. You're going to build this incredible foundation for a home, but that home won't be done until 2035. So how do you sell tell to the American people what you're doing.
All they have to do is look at what is happening across the country right now. There hasn't been a single state that has been left behind in terms of announcements since this agenda and since the president took office.
No state left behind. Well, of course, inside the state, there are a lot of people, and every state is obviously getting involved to some extent, but they still are relying on oil and gas. In fact, they would like to rely on it more because they have it, and it would be good for their economy. And, of course, you also had to look at the individual families because you're kind of stupid. You don't think about your family, do you? They have figured this out for you as well.
People will start to see all across the country that these factories are coming up, and for communities that have felt like they've been left behind, they're getting access to broadband now. They're getting access to charging stations for electric vehicles. There's so much incentive to be able to, from a personal level, take advantage of it to lower people's energy prices and rates. But from a community standpoint and all of these jobs coming back, we are investing in America.
You're investing in America. You're going to have charging stations everywhere. Fewer gas stations. And, of course, how much of a charge you can put on that battery, how long it's going to run, then before you end up having to replace it. And if it's in a crash, it's going to be a very hazardous item. Gasoline would be as well. I'm not denying that. But while you're helping America, this statement from Senator Mike Braun, Republican of Indiana, Joe Biden's scheme to boost electric vehicles will make America more dependent on China. Yes, that is truly, truly helping America. The more we have to depend on China. God help us. It's hard to find a car you like, but here's an easier way. AckermanToyota.com. In a flash, you're going to see new and pre-owned. You can quickly select which model you want, price, colors, options, get details on financing, lifetime oil changes, lifetime engine warranty. Just click AckermanToyota.com. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota. At Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Southern nights. Have you ever felt a southern night? Free as a
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know, still talking about the push by the Biden administration to force you into an electric car, there's some things you have to keep in mind. Many of the chargers that currently exist apparently suffer from numerous malfunctions and are slow charging. And, of course, the questions remain about the U.S. electric grid. Can it really stand up to a load of charging so many vehicles every day, much less whether domestic manufacturing can get things fast enough for EVs to be produced domestically, so we don't have to rely so much on China. Well, that will mean that we will have to search into our earth for the rare minerals used in the batteries that China apparently has, at this time, a lock on. Oh, and then there's this other thing. The electric vehicles, including Tesla, making headlines recently, electric vehicles suddenly bursting into flames, something going wrong with the batteries. So a lot of folks still have a lot of questions, and rightly so, much less the cost. There's an interesting story here. Joe Biden is 80 years of age. He seems to be a lot older in the view of many. Donald Trump is 76. Nancy Pelosi, 83. Well, Nancy Pelosi is coming to the defense of another colleague in Congress, one who's even older than Nancy. That would be Dianne Feinstein. Dianne Feinstein is older. She is the oldest member of the Senate, 89. She has not been at work for some time in the Senate. And Pelosi told reporters, I see people going after her, and I think it's because she's a woman. I've never seen anybody go after a man who was sick in the Senate that way. She said, for 20 years, I've been the leader of the Speaker of the House fighting for California. I've seen up close and firsthand Dianne Feinstein's great leadership for our country, especially our state of California. She deserves the respect to get well and be back on duty. And it's interesting to me, I don't know what political agendas are at work that are going after Senator Feinstein. But again, she says, right now, I see it as sexist. They're going after a woman. She said, I've never seen them do that against a man. The first Democrat in Congress to speak out was Congressman Ro Khanna, Democrat of California, stated, while Feinstein has had a lifetime of public service, it is obvious she can no longer fulfill her duties. And not speaking out undermines our credibility as elected representatives of the people. Are they out there talking about Biden and his current condition regardless of his age? In the meantime, Committee Chairman Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, the Judiciary Committee, the very one that Feinstein sits on, has said, I could not consider any nominees in these circumstances because a tie vote is a losing vote in a committee. So in an unusual move, Feinstein asked the other night that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer temporarily fill her empty seat with another Democrat so that would help get Biden's judicial picks done. Some Republicans might agree to it. Others would say, no. We've got federal judgeships at stake. We're not going to do that. Supposedly, Feinstein is going to be returning fairly soon. How soon? She said, I will be back when my doctors allow me to travel. So is it sexist that they're going after her? Even members of her own party suggesting maybe her best days are behind her? And are those same Republicans or Democrats or independents saying the same about Joe Biden? Again, Feinstein, 89, Pelosi, 83, Biden, 80. Donald Trump, 76. Oh, and there is another man who has been missing from the Senate. That would be Fetterman. Checked himself in hospital for depression back in Feb. Supposedly going to return April 17. Now, on the economy, the White House insists everything is going great. Well, a man who has some skin in the game is Warren Buffett.
We've got a great, great country, and it gets messed up by depressions. I mean, I lived through, I was born in 1930, and the Dow didn't get back to the level. It was higher than when I was born for about 5 days, and I got out of college before it got back to that point. And it wasn't that the American people had turned bad or anything else, but we got something that fed on itself, and banks failed. And I mean, you can disrupt an economy a lot easier than you can put it back together again.
And he would know what he's speaking about. That man speaking in an eloquent fashion is, let me verify, I think I have it, I want to make sure I verify. Yes, he is 92 years old. And he knows of what he speaks when he talks to you about the economy. That was Warren Buffett, appearing on CNBC, Squawk on the Street. And he was talking about how the economy is. Now, he is the chair and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway. I mean, God, if you had just put some money into that thing when it first started. But he's talking about, you know, the times we'd been through. I was born in 1930, and of course, we had all the, and it was difficult for a while, but we made it through, and America's a good company, a country, I should say. And then he says something that I know is not going to be good news for the White House because they've been crowing yesterday that the March CPI report is very, very positive. We're moving in the right direction on inflation. The White House National Economic Council Deputy Director said, I think it's a very, very positive report. Inflation at the headline level continues to come down. 9 straight months now of declining inflation. One of the most salient prices for families, for consumers, grocery prices. That sounds all good, but then Warren Buffett has a broad look, and he's actually got skin in the game.
We don't want to mess up our economic machine, and it can be done by inflation.
So how do we mess it up? How do we mess it up? Should the Fed keep raising rates? Is inflation at bay? What do you think?
Well, fiscal policy scares me more than monetary policy.
Yeah. Meaning that we...
I think it is easier to obtain votes if you give people money.
Boom. It's easier to get votes if you're giving people handouts and money, which this administration has been doing since day one. We're going to need some more votes. Get them some more money. An Inflation Reduction Comedy Act or something of that nature. We're going to need more money. Throw them some more. Take oil out of the oil gas reserve, and so give them cheaper fuel best we can right now. And then go over to Saudi Arabia and beg for more oil. Please, please, even though we called you a pariah of the world. Warren Buffett said, and I'm going to repeat it expressly here, the question was, should the Fed keep raising rates? Is inflation at bay? He said, well, basically, fiscal policy scares me more than monetary policy. He said, I think it's easier to obtain votes if you give people money. Can you make it even more direct than that? You're not supposed to be able to buy votes, but that's exactly what this administration has been doing. And here's Warren Buffett saying, give them more money, you'll get more votes. I see that.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
When you have to wait on something you really want, it's tough, but it's worth it. I'm talking about the opening date for Napoli C. Now, May 22. Opening day, May 22. Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have some of the finest seafood, lobster, caviar. And, of course, keep in mind, you can always find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton. Town and Country, Streets of St. Charles, and now, Napoli C, May 22.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There's a report out that says the U.S. is now, since the 6 months after the Dobbs decision, saying that abortion is not law of the land. We have seen 32,000 fewer abortions. 32,000 fewer abortions. Now, it's hard to document how accurate that is, because if a baby's not being aborted, I mean, were they going to be aborted anyway or not? But all they're saying is the total number of abortions we normally see during this period of time is down 32,000. Put another way, there are 32,000 new American citizens, assuming they were here legally. Once they're born here, they become an American citizen. But that means 32,000 children, if you're competing numbers and comparing them from general term, this term of this 6 months, 32,000 lives saved. Now, even if you are pro-choice, even if you're pro-choice, and you're all about the woman's body and her decision, does that not make you feel good that 32,000 babies were born? Because either the woman decided they wanted it, or they decided, yeah, maybe it's changed my mind since the Roe v. Wade decision of the court, or maybe because it is a little harder, it's not as easy as scheduling a nail appointment to get an abortion now, so I'll go ahead and have the baby. Does it not make you happier and happy at all that 32,000 babies were born? If it doesn't, you need to have a meeting with Jesus. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.